Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we give you glory tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Truly, we can do nothing, absolutely nothing without you. You are our teacher, you are our revelator, you are our guide. You are the one who opens our understanding. You are the one who unfolds truth to us. Thank you that you show us things to come. Thank you, you are the one who brings conviction for righteousness, for sin, and for judgment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who reveals Jesus to us and you magnify the Lord. Tonight, we just thank you for your presence. And we thank you, Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our understanding and bring understanding to us, O God, that we might run with obedience in all that you're showing to us. Have your way tonight. Thank you for your daughters, your sons and daughters, who you have stirred up their heart with a deep hunger for you and more of you. Have your way, O God. Bless them in this season. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you all so much for your prayers. Truly, we are seeing the fruit of this time of waiting on the Lord. And your obedience in the place of intercession. Especially as we see the commitment of various prayer altars across the nation, about those willing women and so many other networks. But thank you so much for your faithfulness, praying night and day, 24/7, and all the various watchmen on this line. Thank you. God will bless you for your labor of love. Amen. Tonight, we have been, you know, through this season, God has been really emphasizing and opening our hearts to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, the identity of the sons and daughters of God, the revelation of authority, of power, dominion, place of ruling and reigning. You know, just God has been sharing a lot with us by His Spirit. Tonight we want to look at a parable of the kingdom of God as relates to times and seasons and how we need to position ourselves, especially in the time we live in. So tonight we're going to continue with the kingdom of God, but more in a prophetic way, just in a more prophetic word tonight, to help us position our hearts in what God is doing in our time. So I'll begin by reading a few scriptures. I'll start from the book of Matthew chapter 13. I'll read from verse 24. Another parable that Jesus put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? Then he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Then the servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them up in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So I will jump to verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. It shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Then in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was talking about, let me just read it really quickly to us. 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, I'll read from verse 3. He says, but beloved, 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. Amen. Before then he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, this is what they'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For these they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the word that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then he went further to share the rest of the scriptures I read to you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, there are two words that define time. Every time you see the word T-I-M-E, is the word either Chronos or Kairos. For the purpose of our discussion tonight, what the Lord is sharing with us, I'll use just the Kairos. The Chronos is basically, let me put it as our natural time schedule, our natural time, the time everybody understands, the worldly time, as a Chronos, chronological time. But the other time, the Kairos, I'll just say God's time, God's schedule, God's timetable. In this parable here, you will see these two times into consideration. Here in Matthew chapter 13, he said the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he used the example of a farmer, a husbandman, a wealthy farmer. He says the farmer planted good seed. Now we're not looking at this before we look at the spiritual prophetic part of it. Said the farmer planted good seed, and while men slept, that is in darkness at night, the enemy came in the same field and planted tares or wheat and went his way. But the servants only noticed that when the fruits were coming up. It's getting close to harvest. It was budding. And that's when they saw the difference between the wheat and the tares. Because they saw the difference. And when they saw the difference, you know, springing up, now they said, "Ah, who did this?" Then the husbandman explained. Said, "Now shall we go and uproot this?" And here's the wisdom of God. This is the farmer now speaking, but it's the wisdom. He says, no. Don't uproot it now. It's not harvest time. Wait until harvest time. And when the harvest time comes, I will send forth my reapers, and they will harvest. They will separate the wheat from the tares, or the wheat from the tares. Now, in explaining this parable, Jesus gave a kind of the main scenario. He's talking about the end of the world. But for the purpose of our understanding what the Lord wants to share with us tonight, let's just say, when he says it's the end of the world, let me say, this describes individually our lives. It describes either the end of our lives when we are separated from this body, from our spirit. That's one. It can describe the end of a city like Sodom and Gomorrah when their time came. It can be like a nation. And then, of course, it describes the end of the world. This covers from Genesis to Revelation. That's what Jesus was describing here. But let's look at it from every context. Personally, corporately, as a church, or as a ministry that God has called into, or as a nation, as a people. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that God has not given us and something to reflect from the past about things, about, you know, things like this. So in this story, it means that God has planted something, good seeds in the earth, or we are born again. God has called us out of darkness into the kingdom. But God is looking for a harvest time, a harvest season in all our life. And when the harvest time comes, there will be a separation. Basically, the harvest is the end. When our time comes, there will be a separation. And then we'll give an account for the fruit that we are born. But in this story here, again, I'll go to 2 Peter. The Bible describes, it said in 2 Peter, that there were people who were mocking prophetic seasons or prophetic times of God. And it says they were mocking it because of their lust. In other words, with their lifestyle. And they were saying, oh, it's never, nothing's going to happen. Things always stay the same. So they were mocking it with their lifestyle. But they were just doing things the way they want. Until Peter gave illustration of what has happened in the past that we can look at. Today, I just want to share a little bit more about the atmosphere that we're living in America, in this culture, here where we are, where God has assigned us. When God raised up Egypt, Egypt has its time. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt had its own time. And God gave Egypt a season of time. And there was certain things that transpired in Egypt when Joseph was there, that God awakened the nation to righteousness through the life of Joseph. But the Pharaoh that ruled in that time embraced God, and God really used the church, Joseph, then used Egypt in their time to bring deliverance to the whole world. But then there came a time, a Pharaoh that did not really know God, that really didn't understand. And that Pharaoh brought extreme bondage to the destiny of the children of Israel. But that bondage and that time, the bondage he brought to them also fulfilled prophecy. Because God already told Abraham they would be there for 400 years. Now, when the 400 years was over, something happened, and there was a shift, and God started moving. Now, the Lord has been showing me a lot, and I want to use the illustration of the seed and harvest time, and I want to use the story of a pregnant woman, which is, I always use this, about the long suffering of God and about the seasons and timings of harvest. In this story, there was a sowing time, and the farmer was laboring in the area of sowing, and the farmer knew it was sowing time. Now the farmer was waiting after sowing for the harvest time. But as the farmer was waiting for the season of harvest, which will be the time of fruit, there was something the enemy did and mixed up the whole thing. The wheat and the tares look so much alike in the field until they are ripe and the fruit starts coming forth. So while the farmer is waiting, something was happening in the field. And so when the servant says, let's go in and harvest, say, no, wait, that's long suffering of God, and that's the wisdom of God. Say, wait for harvest time. And then harvest time comes. Say, then I will send forth my servants, and they will separate, they will bring forth harvest. First of all, there are seasons in our personal lives that when God is calling us, God has called us and God has empowered us and we're serving, there are certain things that while God is preparing us, there are certain things that when we pray for it, we receive breakthrough. There are certain things we pray for it, eventually we see answers, we see this comfort, we see that comfort. But there are some things that we don't see the breakthrough, that we have to wait individually and then also corporately for that breakthrough to come. And that breakthrough, this aspect of breakthrough, has to come at God's appointed time, at a harvest season. And no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we fast, no matter what we do, that thing will not come forth until his appointed time, until the harvest time, like he's saying here. But while we are waiting for the harvest time, we're waiting for the breakthrough, there is a reason why God waits. Now let me move quickly to a pregnant woman, and I'll come back to this. The same way, when a pregnant woman conceives a child, a seed has been sown. There's an expectation in that woman. There's an expectation in the man. No matter the amount of prayer we pray, a pregnant woman will pray, there's nothing that woman will do to cause that child to come forth at her own time. There's nothing she can do to bring that child in 2 months, in 3 months, in 4 months. But no matter how much she pray, her prayer, the only prayer that will be answered, are prayers that will preserve the baby, keep the baby healthy, keep the baby nourished, keep the baby protected, keep the baby looking, I mean just growing, every part of the baby growing well. Just all those prayers God will be answering. God will sustain. But about the baby coming out, that is, I'm using the natural process, about the baby coming out in a month or 2 months, God will not answer that. The reason is, if God answers that, it means that actually that's God aborting the baby. So there are prayers God will not just answer, but God will answer it because those prayers are already programmed to manifest in their fullness of time. So because of that, there is also a scripture in the book of Revelation, especially Revelation chapter 5. It says that there were prayers that were put in the bowl, and there's beasts that carry this bowl, and they present this bowl before the throne of the Lord, and there are incense that go up out of this bowl. And it says these odors, these incense, are the prayers of the saints. So it means that these prayers is not like God has. These prayers are memorial prayers. These are prayers that God is reserving for specific season, appointed time. And when the season for the fullness of time for this season, for these prayers to be answered, then they are released into the earth. And those prayers bring forth the purpose for which they've been accumulating. So sometimes these are prayers in a prophetic way. People will pray, but they don't see it happen in their time because they were not appointed for that. Those prayers were not appointed to be answered in that season. So as the reason, again, Peter says the long suffering of God waits and waits and waits and waits until all come to repentance. That God is not willing that any should perish. I've read that so many times, but I never understood the word all, that all will come to repentance. I say, how can that be? So we go back to this, first of all, if you relate that to the pregnant woman, meaning that God waits. Just like a natural prayer, a pregnant woman will wait until that child comes to the fullness of maturity. And when that child comes to the fullness of maturity, you don't even have to pray. That child, that thing that is closed, is going to open, and the child will be born at that time. That's natural. Now, in this story of the wheat and the tares, in the natural, the God now says, the husbandman saying, wait, don't do that. Don't harvest before time. Wait for what? Wait for the maturity of what is being planted. Why? Because in the natural, the wheat looks like the tares. In other words, you don't have a clue in that field who is wheat and who is tares. You don't really know who is wheat and who is tares. Basically, spiritually speaking, you don't know in a church who is truly a child of God and who is not. Because a child of God is determined by fruit, not by speaking in tongues. It's determined by fruit, not by gift. So, for example, when the early church started, there were people like Paul that were looked like tares. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He looked like tares because tares are instruments of darkness. Tares are they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, so they become instruments in the hands of Satan. So Saul was a tare. But in that field, as the move of God, the Spirit of God was moving, all of a sudden Saul was no more tares. But if you look at it, if you are impatient, you will uproot it before time, destroy it as tares, because he was a murderer, he was a destroyer, he was a weapon in the hands of Satan. And so if you look at it like this farmer was looking in the natural, I'm just using spiritual now. If you look at it with the eyes of even a Christian, they'll say that guy is a murderer, is a destroyer. That's what Saul was. But like this husbandman, God looked at the field. Saul was not a tear. He was really a wheat. He was just waiting for harvest time. And when harvest time came, when God stepped in, Saul became Paul. And that wheat was a good one. It was Paul now that changed the whole world. But before his harvest came, he looked and appeared completely like there. So in this parable, in the natural, he says the farmer, the wise farmer, the one who knows the condition of plants, he knows, he waits and does not harvest before time. And when harvest comes, there's a divine interruption. And that divine interruption, which is a move of God, comes at the perfect time and then separates truly what is righteous and what is unrighteous. What appears to be righteous might not be righteous. What appears to be unrighteous might be righteous. So it's until harvest time that the true reapers will be able to reap that. So, having said that about the natural, now the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, I'm talking about last days now, it's referring to last days. Peter says last days, this one says last days. In Isaiah 60, he says, in the last days, he says also that the God's glory will arise. And the glory will rise upon the children of God. He said, but in the midst of the glory, verse 2 says, there will be gross darkness. And the darkness will be on the face of the people, but the glory of God will be upon the face of the righteous. And then he says, the heathens, the nations will come to that light, to the rising of that light. Now, that's what harvest time looks like. So, what the Lord is showing to me is that the long suffering of God is the character of God, is the manifestation of the waiting time of God until the harvest time comes. And when the harvest time comes, nothing will stop. Just the same way God has waited, nothing will stop what God will do to separate the wheat from the tares and the tares from the wheat. Right now, the church in America, all over the world, is like mixed up with wheat and tares. You can't really tell who is truly a Christian. Of course, you can tell there's a remnant. You can tell Muslim, but in God's eyes, if you look at the church today, it's hard to really say what is truly godly and what is truly worldly. And if you look at the world, what we look at more from the outward appearance is the world is lost, it's corrupt, which is true. But God, who looks at the heart like the Good Samaritan, we can't really look at America and say, who is really an unbeliever? So there's something that happens. There's something that happens during the process of winning. During the process of waiting, there is a maturity taking place on the inside of us, both inside of us and inside of unbelievers. There's something happening in unbelievers, that there are unbelievers out there. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they are just waiting for something to happen to show them the right way. But there are people in church. Peter said, they are in church. They appear to be Christians, but in their heart, they are mocking the things of God. Because in their heart, they are not positioned, they are not giving themselves, they are not really fruitful. They are not really giving, they are not serving God the way they ought to. They are not giving themselves to God the way they ought to. Because in their heart, they are already mocking. Oh, God is not coming. Let's just be in the church. Let's just do things our way, live the way we want, do this, you know, serve God anyhow, just they have those, they have their own righteousness, they have their own standard, they have their own, but they are in church. That's what Peter said. But with their lifestyle, they mock the ways of God, the things of God. Now, you remember a few days ago, just to highlight that, a few days ago, we talked about the seasons of visitation. There was a lady, Nancy, I brought her on this, on the line, and she shared. There was a visitation. And the Lord talked to her. He says, this is God speaking directly. He says, you've been unfaithful. You've not been doing what I've called you to do. And she's a pastor. So, on and on, she repeated on this line to you what the Lord told her. And when she came out of that place of God opening her life, she came back to the room where a lot of people were. She found that everybody was trembling, because they now knew that their house would be open and they were not ready. I really see a season upon us that God is about to bring us into the season of harvest. Early part of this year, the Lord was speaking to us about we're going into a new season. We heard it over and over and over, and then we've been speaking into this new season. God has been teaching us, God has been awakening us about all this identity, all these different parts. But today, the Lord is showing me about God is getting ready as we go further into this season. He's getting ready to bring us into the season of harvest. And this harvest is not going to be fun. This harvest is going to be God bringing a separation. There will be a separation. There will be a separation that God is going to bring about. And this separation, I don't know the way it's going to come. I won't speak right now, but God is going to bring a separation, a purification. He's going to expose our hearts. He's going to show us truly where we are and our commitment, if we're truly, totally committed to the Lord, or if we are just, if we're deceiving ourselves. And in this separation, God says when this separation comes, then He's going to reveal the glory of the Lord in the face of those that are righteous. And then whatever happens to the other. So there is a move of God coming. And on the other side, there is a move of darkness that is upon the nation. And this move of darkness is both in the church and in the world. And it's so strong in the church that right now we can't really tell. No, I'm not saying every ministry. We can't really tell what is truly a move of God, what is truly a gift of the Spirit, apart from people who know, from a true move of God. And because of this mixture because of this wheat and tares, because of this mixture, the world is so still blanketed in darkness. And the world is looking like the sores of Tarsus. They are waiting for the manifestation. They are groaning. They are lamenting inside of them, groaning for the sons of God, the true move of God, the children of God, to manifest the glory of God. And then they will move into their harvest time, into their Kairos moment. So prophetically, also as another way the Lord is showing me this is that, let me use the example of Joseph. God revealed to Joseph about a season in Joseph's life, but before that season, Joseph went through different levels of trial. The final trial Joseph went through, he was totally shut out in the dungeon, totally in obscurity, totally in a shut out place. But while he was there, Joseph was ministering to people, and then you all remember the story of the buckler, and the buckler came, and then Joseph spoke to the buckler, and then prophesied, and then eventually the thing came to pass, and the buckler forgot Joseph until the appointed time. In this season, in the season where we are right now, what God is about to do, no man will be able to take the credit for it. And what God is about to do is like every one of you on this line, every one of us, we've been kind of shut in. I mean, you've been praying, you've been waiting on God. There are things you've been believing God for. Some things have been happening. God is giving some breakthroughs. You've seen so many things happen. But the big picture of why you're in America, we spoke about this at the beginning, that God will manifest why we are here. But the big picture of why you're in America has not been revealed yet. But we are going towards that season. We're heading towards a season where the reason you're here, and the reason God has hidden you, and the reason God has been preparing you, is about to manifest. And nothing can stop it. No man can stop it. And just the same way Joseph was shut out, closed, and no man can bring him out, the same way God is about to open doors for you that have been waiting on the Lord, you that have been seeking the Lord, you that have been waiting and praying. God is about to open supernatural doors. The angels of the Lord, God is about to bring supernatural intervention in this nation. He's about to bring something that will highlight your destiny. Something that will cause everybody that knows you to say, this is definitely the hand of God. This is definitely the season you've been waiting for. This is definitely time God has been preparing you for. God is about to do something in our time to fulfill the prophecy and the destiny for which all of us are here. God is about to do that. And God wants us to be position ourselves for this season that is coming. Because this season that is coming, there will be separation. There will be surprises. There will be plenty of surprises. There was a time we were praying in a few prayer meetings we've been having, and there was quite several prophecies that came at different times that there will be separation. You know, what some things don't appear the way they look. You know, of course we received it, but as the Lord is showing me this, I realize that is not only true, but it's what God is about to do in a very big way nationally. And the reason God wants to do it is God wants to reveal the sons of God in the earth. God wants to manifest the answers to the groaning of the people. The Bible says the earth is groaning. The people are groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, meaning righteousness, true men and women of God, who God has been hiding and keeping and preparing and nurturing to be revealed like Joseph. Now, this season, The Lord says when the harvest time comes, he will send forth his angels, and they will gather.